Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Republicans seem to be uniting behind opposition to President Biden's proposed $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill. GOP Senator Rick Scott of Florida.
If you look at in the COVID relief bill, all of us would love to help the people who've lost their job. All of us would love to help the small businesses. Let's make sure we get vaccines out. Let's make sure we have robust testing. Well, that's a very small part of the bill.
Democratic leaders preparing to push the relief package through the House on Friday before sending it on to the Senate, where they're planning to pass the bill through the reconciliation process. That would prevent a GOP filibuster. The big question mark right now is whether a hike in the federal minimum wage to $15 will be included in the final bill or whether it will run afoul of Senate rules. Scientists have spotted yet another potentially worrisome coronavirus variant that appears to be spreading quickly in New York City. NPR's Rob Stein has details.
Researchers say the variant looks like it's becoming increasingly common in New York City, and it's worrisome because it has a mutation that appears to make it less vulnerable to some drugs and to the body's immune response. It's the same mutation that was first spotted in South Africa and seems to be causing problems with some vaccines. Researchers say it's too early to know for sure whether it's more contagious, but the variant's already been spotted in other parts of the Northeast, so scientists are keeping a close eye on it and trying to learn more about just how much of a threat it may pose. Rob Stein, NPR News.
Johnson & Johnson is waiting for word from the Food and Drug Administration about its COVID-19 vaccine. J&J seeking emergency use authorization for its one-dose shot. A decision could come as early as Friday. To Texas, where state lawmakers will be holding hearings Thursday on the blackouts last week that left millions of people without power. Matt Largy of member station KUT in Austin reports that Governor Greg Abbott told Texans the state is moving to fix the problem.
In a televised address Wednesday night, Abbott blamed electric grid operators and power plants for the blackouts, saying Texans deserve answers about exactly what happened last Monday.
Many of you are angry, and you have a right to be. I'm angry, too, at a time when essential services were needed the most. The system broke.
Abbott promised to fix the conditions that led to the blackouts, including inadequately weatherized power plants that shut down in frigid temperatures. But the grid operators, who've gotten most of the blame so far, don't actually have the authority to require plants be weatherized. That authority lies with state lawmakers. Abbott said he's making that an emergency priority. For NPR News, I'm Matt Largy in Austin.
A spokesman for the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality says more than 1.3 million people across 204 Texas counties still have water supply issues stemming from the blackouts. This is NPR. Amnesty International has revoked the prisoner of conscience status of imprisoned opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Here's Charles Maines reporting from Moscow.
Amnesty is still calling for Navalny to be released from prison, where he's currently serving out a 2.5-year term for parole violations both he and Amnesty argue were politically motivated. But the Human Rights Watchdog will no longer call Navalny a prisoner of conscience, citing past views that Amnesty says violated its hate speech rules. Navalny has long been a controversial figure among Russian liberals in particular over what some argue were overtly nationalist statements early in his career targeting migrants and ethnic groups in Russia's Southern Caucasus region. Navalny allies insist his positions have evolved over time and suggest Amnesty may have fallen for a coordinated online campaign by pro-Kremlin bloggers to discredit the opposition figure. For NPR News, I'm Charles Maines in Moscow.
Facebook says it's banned all accounts linked to Myanmar's military following the military seizure of power earlier this month. Facebook has issued a statement saying it is treating the situation as an emergency, citing deadly violence since the coup on February 1st. The ban also includes Facebook-owned Instagram, students and doctors planning new protests Thursday. Australia's parliament has finalized a move that would make Google and Facebook pay media companies for content. Lawmakers passed final amendments Thursday to what's being called the News Media Bargaining Code after Treasurer Geoff Frydenberg and Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg came to an agreement. Facebook had banned users from sharing and accessing Australian news amid negotiations with the government. This is NPR News.